Hello, welcome to another episode of Cadaver Gals. This is the show where we talk about death, dying, and all the weird ways that people die throughout history to cope with our own mortality. It's not working. It is I, one of your three hosts, Nika, along with Gabby.
Hello.
And Taylor.
Hello.
Taylor, I saw you mimicking me as I did the intro. You bitch. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about freezing yourself so you can live on to eternity, yeah? And why you shouldn't do piggyback rides past the point of 10. As always, obviously, there are trigger warnings. They include falling, head injuries, bodies being destroyed, decapitation, capitalism, and honestly, general death. This one is just very much general death. Yes. Cue the alligator music.
Cadaver Gals.
Taylor, I am so excited to hear your story. It hella triggered me while I was researching the tangents.
Sorry.
So go ahead, please.
All right. Well, we've all seen those sci-fi tropes of people being cryogenically frozen to preserve themselves to then wake up years later and continue their lives. Turns out you can be cryogenically frozen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool, an option for us.
Who knew? Because I sure didn't. It's really just your body gets frozen and stored, so nobody's been woken up yet, so it's still not a thing, but it's still a half thing.
So people are just getting frozen. They're not getting unfrozen.
Right. They're being stored. Okay. So they're technically qualified as a cemetery, I believe, because it's just bodies, like, you know, dead bodies, basically. So all of the bodies are stored in a vessel filled with liquid nitrogen and frozen to negative 196 degrees Celsius. There are over 300 people just in the U.S. that are cryogenically frozen. I think there's like 50 or something in Russia. And then there's thousands and thousands of others waiting to be cryogenically frozen. So they're waiting to die to then be frozen.
Weird.
We're all technically waiting to die.
But at the same time, they all have hopes of waking back up. And scientists at these facilities believe that in the next 50 to 100 years that it'll be possible. Which, like, like, that's no risk to them because they can just be like, yeah, sure, 50, 100 years, like, it could be 100 and, like, nobody's going to outlive that or something, you know? So it's like, it's dumb. Anyway.
What if people, like, forget about the bodies, you know? Like, you have to have a lot of institutional, like, you have to have faith in your business that it will continue going in, like, 100 years so that you can unfreeze people, you know?
Well, exactly. But we will get to how they will how they are staying open. We will get to that. Don't worry, Gabby.
Terrific. I was worried.
I am so scared of getting, like, sued for slander for talking about this, especially the specific company we're going to get into. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, we'll deal with that when it comes.
We got good lawyers, yeah. You know? I do comedy. I have three friends in comedy who do lawyering, too. So, you know, we're safe. We're good. The clown lawyers that I know.
Okay, so I do think it's important to point out that all of these people that are frozen, they were frozen after they died. So they no longer exist on this plane of existence, okay? Like, rather than, like, deciding, like, okay, I'm done. I want to pause my life now, be frozen, and then be woken back up. So seemingly there's really no risk, right? Because it's just a different way of preserving a body. And then there's also another reason why there's no risk is because either it's going to work and they'll wake up, like, best case scenario, or it won't and they're already dead. So it doesn't really matter, okay?
Okay, but here's a scenario I thought of. It works and they wake up, but the technology is not there yet necessarily. And so you're just in pain, half dead, half alive. In 100 years from now, you don't even know the times. You don't know the lingo. You don't know the slang.
You don't know the slang.
And you're just like half dead.
You'll be confused.
Even worse, you won't know the fashion. Like, what if you look bad?
That's the worst part of it all. Yes.
Easily the worst part. So I wanted to tell you about one individual in particular who has been cryogenically frozen because her story is the most unique to me. It spoke to me. This is about a woman named Dora Kent. And there are quite a few companies out there freezing bodies or cryogenically freezing their bodies. But this one in particular we're going to talk about is Alcor. And that is where Dora is chilling today.
Chilling.
I knew you would love that, Nika.
Wait, is it Al Gore or Al Gore?
Al Gore. Please do not confuse with Al Gore. I'm not sure Al Gore, how Al Gore would feel about all this.
We're going to get sued on both ends now.
Great.
I don't think he would find this very sustainable.
No.
So I think Al Gore would not be for this. But I'm going to speak for him because, you know, I feel confident I can. All right, Taylor, sorry to keep interrupting you.
Okay. In 1987, Dora was 83 years old and she was, you know, starting to get sickly. And then she got pneumonia, knew that death was knocking on her doorstep. So Dora's son was an Alcor member. And so they head over to Alcor, like, while she's not feeling so hot. And so she could quickly be frozen post-mortem. Obviously, the less time for the body to deteriorate, the better. But we only assume that because we don't really know.
She was still alive when she was taken?
She was still alive when she arrived. So, spoiler alert, Dora expires at the facility. But the problem is, there was no doctor present. So the team moves forward. They're like, okay, they declared her dead. Move forward with the freezing process. Well, side note, at Alcor, you have the option for a whole body or a neurocryopreservation, meaning you can either preserve your whole body or just your head. So not all companies do this, but the idea here is believe that everything exists in your brain. And so you can just have like some other kind of vessel to like take, move you forward through life when you are woken back up.
I read about this too, and there's another scientific theory about that. So I'll get into it in my tangent, but continue.
I mean, I feel like Jesus lives in your heart, though. So if you get your head chopped off, how's Jesus going to come into the ice with you?
You know, he might be in your brain. Who knows?
Okay.
We don't really know. Nobody's ever found Jesus in their hearts, have they?
I have.
Okay.
Speak for yourself, Taylor.
I'm sorry. Okay.
He's a creep. I'm just like, get out of there, Jesus. That's my aorta.
No.
Oh, all right. Gosh, the other Catholic Church.
Yes. The other good thing about just doing the neurocryopreservation is it's less space, less maintenance. Therefore, it costs less. So let's go back to Dora.
But they gotta get your head off your body.
Exactement. So there is no doctor present when she died. Alcor began the neurocryopreservation procedure, aka cutting off her head. So
that's so bleak.
So they, you know, they start that process. It's a very long and complicated process. But then they're like, okay, we got to do something with the rest of her body, right? And so they call the coroner. So the coroner gets there and he's like, excuse me, like, what is this? This is only part of the body. And he's like,
they're like, something's missing.
Something pretty key is missing here.
Oh my God.
He's like, this is very suspicious, but he's like, I guess he knows about this company, whatever, whatever. So he does the autopsy. And first he's like, okay, yeah, she died from pneumonia. Cool. But then he changes his tune and he's like, you know, I kind of feel like maybe they started freezing her prior to her actually dying. So he was like, this is murder. Okay. So he's like,
what if he's like, it's like she died because her head was chopped off.
No, that's not even why. He was like, no, they already started freezing her before she died.
That would have affected her. That could have killed her.
Well, and we can get into it. I think I'll get into it later. But like, she was so sickly that they were worried that her body was deteriorating as she was alive. So the coroner's like, I'm going to need her head so I can further test this. And Alcor is like, no. They're like, no, that's not okay. We're keeping her head and we're going to keep it in an undisclosed area, aka they're like, no, I'm hiding her head.
Going to hide her head in the back of the closet.
Yeah, I mean, surely there's like only X amount of places that you can hide a cryogenically frozen head, but what do I know? So six Alcor scientists are then cuffed, taken in for questioning. Like a few hours pass after they're questioned, whatever, they were then released. So basically they start fighting with the coroner and they're like, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. Blah, blah, blah. So the coroner is claiming that what they were doing was wrong, trying to shut them down altogether, saying that they were murderers, tried to request seven others for an autopsy. Never happened. So there were like seven others that they believed may have also died as a result of the process of cryogenically freezing. Eventually, the coroner settles and he admits to wrongdoing. And so Alcor wins and they're like, we get to keep our people as they wanted, et cetera, et cetera.
But then they realize they forgot where they put her head.
No, they still know where she is. Don't you worry.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, Alcor has like this whole story on their website, which I'm assuming is a little bit biased, first of all.
I read it. It's weird. It's like very detailed. And for me, it's like, you know when you know someone's lying because they're giving so many unnecessary details?
Yes.
Again, not saying that's what Alcor is doing. That's just something that people do sometimes.
Well, okay, here's what I'll say. I felt like they were playing the victim pretty hard. They were like documenting the way they were documenting everything, like down to like what they had for lunch. They'd be like, I had a vegetarian burrito that day. And I'm like, but why?
I read the vegetarian burrito part. And then he regretted getting the vegetarian burrito, but he wanted to do it out of respect for like another doctor who was vegetarian.
But it's like, okay.
We don't need to know that.
Exactly.
Though, I mean, you need all information when you're doing an investigation. You need all the irrelevant information because maybe it was that vegetarian burrito that means something.
There's two ways that I can kind of think about it. One is like, okay, calm down. We don't need to know that. And the other is like, this was such like a day in our lives that affected us so much that I remember everything down to the burrito. You know? So, but.
Yes.
But the more I read, I was like, this feels a little culty to me.
Mm-hmm.
What, being cryogenically frozen sounds culty to you? That's weird, Taylor.
No. That's fine. You should do what you want with your body, like with after death. Like that should be up to you. You know what I mean? Like the person who dies, like you should be able to have a say in what happens to your body. And I totally believe that. And if they want to be cryogenically frozen, that's fine. I'm totally cool with that. But it's a pretty thin line with me with Alcor. Like the way that I was like reading some of this stuff, like I don't necessarily doubt that it can be done, like that you can be like reawoken or anything. But it was just like the more I started reading on the website, like it was kind of like, well, they noted that her illness was like deteriorating her brain. And so there was too much damage to be able to bring her back later. So it just kind of came across really icky. And like maybe they were, because I mean we were talking about last week with assisted suicide, like you can't persuade somebody, and it like kind of felt that way. And just
did
like
it feel kind of like predatory,
and just the way that they were talking about it was just, and like they have all of these like, I'm going to call them buzzwords for all of the process for cryogenically freezing, which Nika is going to talk about later.
Yep, I found them hella weird,
but I'm just like, I don't know. But look, in 50 to 100 years, who knows? Dora may come back and she can set the record straight.
And then she can write a bad review for this podcast.
But it'll be 50 to 100 years, so we won't care by then, hopefully.
Thank you, Taylor, for giving us your official stance on, you know, cryo preservation. I always want to say cryotherapy, but that's something separate. When we come back, I will talk a little bit about why it feels a little culty and how you, too, can participate in what Dora did. So thank you, Taylor, for this fascinating story about Miss Dora's head. Really, really horrifying stuff. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So I was researching more about Alcor, and I 1,000% agree that it sounds kind of cultish. And as you mentioned, like the different names, and I just want to kind of point some out because it is very interesting. Like dying is deanimating.
Yeah, okay. They like literally will
deanimating.
They will like there's a lot of like question and answers, and it'll be like, well, if they're already dead, like what do you do? And they're like, well, if you mean by dead that they're like no longer living on this current, like it's just like so weird. It's like they won't even accept that death is real or something, is like how it looks.
Alcor is gaslighting me. Kidding. Okay. So yeah, and like being freezed is called suspension. And for them, like you said, death is defined as the patient is impossible to revive. And they call that information theoretic death. Like, it's not just death, because they believe that the only permanent death is the one where the consciousness is impossible to revive, not the person necessarily.
Not their, like, body.
Exactly. So, like, anything else to them is not officially death. They just, like, call it, like, legal death or information theoretic death. And it's just blurry, which, like, okay. However, if you do want to join this cult, let me give you some totally just factual, not trying to persuade anyone, stuff. And I'm going to just walk you through the steps. So in order to start the process, you can start it as early as you want. They have kids packages. They have family packages. And basically what you have to do is join their membership.
It's like as a if phone it's a gym. Plan.
Yeah, honestly. Like, it's just a membership. It's $50 a month. That's not crazy. And it goes towards your cryopreservation. So what comes with your membership is, like, around the time of death, they'll have a standby team ready to begin the process, and then they'll fly your body to their facility in Arizona. Once an independent entity, like a coroner or a doctor, declare you legally dead, then they'll preserve you. And that's like the weird thing that happened with Dora is they didn't wait. They, like, just said, oh, okay, she's dead. Let's go ahead. And that's what created this whole problem with her body and her head and the whole thing. So now they're like, we always have to have an independent person saying that they are legally dead before we can start the process.
I think that was a rule at the time too, but they were like, oh, but she's like,
oh, I don't doubt that. Yeah, no, I don't doubt that.
It was probably just that the intern was in charge of it, you know.
Go to their website.
Never trust an intern.
Go to their website and read what they said. They were like, we were under attack. They were so, but we took care of our people. Don't you worry. We will fight the legal battle in order to keep you preserved properly.
Yes, they actually did. That was the vibe. So yes, they will preserve you after you are legally dead. Now, your membership doesn't necessarily cover the actual preservation. Most members, what they do is they'll pay for that with a life insurance policy. And the policy has to be $200,000 and up, because the cost of preserving the whole body is $200,000 and the cost of preserving just the head is $80,000. There are other ways to pay for it too. You can pay for it in advance, but obviously only incredibly rich people do that. Or you can pay for it with your trust. Again, I don't have a trust. Like, no. I can't pay for that.
They're like, write us into your will.
Where's my trust? I want one.
They're literally like, write us into your will. Like,
oh, yeah. No. And then I was literally going to say that. Or you can add them to your will, which is so intense. But yeah, so there are different ways to pay for it.
They're just going to get a lot of, like, cats and guitars from me, you know? If they're written into my will.
So there are currently 181 patients frozen at their facilities. And then there's around 90 pets, one of which includes a turtle. They froze a turtle. And they also have 1,338 current members who want the process and who are paying for it. This is just extremely bizarre. Now, I was thinking about the head part, because why? Like, if you're going to do it, just freeze your whole body. Like, why just the head?
Well, because it's cheaper. But
I mean, yeah.
Not all of the companies will freeze just your head.
Yeah, only I've only heard that Alcor does it. I've only heard in the cryo field. Alcor believes, and they write this in their website, that the science of regenerating cells is in its early stages and could eventually be a thing. That's the thing. Like, this entire website is just like, this could eventually be a thing. So what they would do is they wouldn't, like, transplant the head to another body, or they also mentioned cloning in the FAQs, and they're like, that is so primitive. Apparently, what they would actually do is regenerate a new body around a working brain. So they believe that science is going to get to a point where your cells will regenerate and grow limbs and grow a whole body, basically, which just freaks me out. Like, you're like a little embryo in just growing. I don't know. That's weird. So the weirdest thing to me personally is that this company is technically a nonprofit, and I'm kind of concerned as to what would happen if the company falls apart, because the storage fees must be, like, absolutely insane, and they have people there that they need, like, employees to keep you frozen. And then I read this article where this woman, this Arizona journalist, was interviewing them, and they asked them, hey, what about if you guys go under? And Alcor was like, some of the membership fees go into a patient trust, and then that earns interest for the company, which would stop it from ever going under. but they only have 1,338 current members.
1,300 how many?
And 38 current members.
I want to do some math here. Times 50.
We love it when Taylor does math.
They're about to have 1,339 with my membership.
So just memberships alone, that's like $802,800.
Okay.
A year just on memberships. Plus the, like, when those people die, either to, you know, what'd you say, 200,000 or whatever, and all the stuff that you were just saying.
I still worry. That's not like a lot of money when it comes, well, like when it's cutting edge science. Like, yeah, I feel like it's going to be a lot more money to keep this process going. But anyway, she pressed them and she was like, okay, yes, like heard, but also what if that doesn't work out? And they didn't have an answer because they don't believe it'll happen.
Well, this does feel like a faith, like there is like a faith based element of this business and believing that the fact that this science will advance in the period of time. So I feel like, you know, they seem like an optimistic bunch, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely like, yeah, they're putting hope into the future, I guess. I don't know. I just feel like once I die, goodbye planet, right? I will say this, other cryonics facilities.
Off to the moon.
Yes. Other cryonics facilities have gone under and they have sent, like transferred their patients over to like facilities like Alcor. So
Alcor, I don't know. Also just like sounds like some like Marvel universe, like fake billionaires.
Like, it's society. Like the supervillains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's a supervillains corporation and it's taking over the world.
Alcor's,
I think you're thinking
us.
Of Amazon.
No, that's Captain America's facility, because remember he was like cryogenically frozen, you know?
Yeah.
So Captain America owns Alcor, aka Chris Evans. He owns it.
But he didn't. He was alive when he was cryogenically frozen.
Yeah, and that has never happened and legally cannot happen.
Unless, I wonder though, right now, just because we've talked about assisted suicide, I wonder, I mean, surely that this isn't like an approved like assisted suicide process, but I wonder if they could argue it. And now I'm making like all these court cases for them. You're welcome, Alcor.
No. Well, there was a 23-year-old girl who was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer, which is, like, I read that, and I was like, I'm 23. Like, it's, I don't know, just all of this entire research made me so very aware of my mortality in a way that I don't think I have in the past while researching for this podcast. But anyway, she was diagnosed, and she started a GoFundMe to be preserved at Alcor. And though she could not do it when she was alive, like legally still, even if she had terminal brain cancer, she could not do it. The moment she died, she had enough funds to be able to be preserved. And she's now preserved at the Alcor facilities.
Good for her.
I mean, yeah, if that's what you want to do, I hope that, you know, you can have the resources to do it. But speaking of being aware of our mortality, Gabby, I know you suffered from a devastating fall a couple of weeks ago. And
Gabby,
do you just want to like share about that slash share a story that we have planned for you to share?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I had a concussion about 2 weeks ago, and you know, so if you're thinking I'm sounding a little slow, that's more just my personality, but I also am still having some like minor confusion and slowness in the brain, not to brag, but, yeah, it was very dumb. Here's what happened. I was, you know, out on the town walking around, went to this one outdoor bar down the street with my special friend, okay? Sorry, guys. I got a special friend. Okay. And we were leaving, and then I was like, yeah, give me a piggyback ride. And then I jumped for the piggyback ride, but I didn't grip when I arrived upon the piggyback ride. So then I just fell backwards and hit my head really hard on the sidewalk.
Oh, Gabby.
This is what happened.
Gabby.
It's so stupid.
I use that as an icebreaker with people. I say, when's the last time that you hit your head really hard? That like you like, not blacked out for a moment, but you know when you hit your head and it just feels, everything feels blurry and everything like feels blurry in your brain. I like to ask
like
that
your brain
to people.
Like knocks around in your skull.
Yeah.
I think that's called a concussion.
No.
Because that's based on... No, yeah. That is. If you have like blurred vision, a mild one nonetheless, but now we understand what's wrong with Nika. She's been concussed,
but nobody...
I feel so dumb. The last time that happened to me was when... Not to make it about me, but also the last time that happened to me was when I was working front desk at a tennis center of all places. This was like 5 years ago, I think. And the front desk was, oh boy, maybe I do have a concussion. Yes.
A concussion.
A concussion.
Also, concussions are contagious, so you might have gotten mine.
Okay, gotcha. The desk was made of marble, like hard marble, and I went down to pick something up, and then a customer came in, and I like went up super quickly because I care about my job.
Oh my God.
And I hit my head against like the bottom of the marble extremely hard.
Mika.
I mean, it's fine. I just love sharing head injury stories because I think everyone can remember the last time that they hit their head really, really hard. Ironically. Unless you fall into a coma and then you can't.
Yes. When you're in a coma, you cannot tell cool stories, unfortunately. But I mean, I think it sounds like you had a concussion because you can even, you know, those milder symptoms of brain fog, memory, brief memory loss. And another big symptom side effect is like being nauseated. For about a day and a half, I was nauseated and couldn't really eat and I couldn't like turn in my bed. I felt pretty pathetic. And then just the pain in the front of my head was really bad. So I was like, obviously what I should do for this week is, you know, look at falling and when does falling become dangerous? Because I feel like such a goddamn fool, okay? Because I was getting a piggyback ride. I'm almost 30 and I've realized...
It's not your fault.
But I'm just saying that almost at age 30, not even once. No more piggyback rides. We're not doing them anymore. And I did find this story about... This was in Destin, Florida. So this is, you know, a similar situation to mine. A woman very playfully asks her husband for a piggyback ride. And she gets up on a little chair to, like, go get on his back. But then she missed and she fell 18 stories from their balcony 18? And died.
What? What?
Whoa, whoa,
I thought you were going to say she had a concussion.
Yeah,
what?
Nope. That was a piggyback ride that went super wrong. So never piggyback ride, not even once. And I was looking more into falls because I do think it's like, I mean, you'll see the infomercials like, help, I've fallen and I can't get up for, you know, the elderly getting the button so people can come and like get them off the floor and stuff. And I was just like, at what point in your life does a fall become like, oh no, she fell versus just like, oh, I fell over, you know?
Versus laughing at the person for falling.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, because at some point a fall, I feel like it just gets very serious.
I feel like I've fallen recently and people are like, oh shoot. What? I'm going to say 30 is the line.
Well, I think it is. I think it is kind of like, around age 30, but really it's more around the statistics of when falls get dramatically worse is after the age of 65. Okay. So, I mean, 30 and 65, is there much of a difference, Taylor? You tell me. You're the oldest one here.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, I find that I'm grunting when I sit down or getting back up, you know?
You're just grunting because you're enjoying it. Okay. So, falling is the second most common accidental death in the world.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
So guess what the first one is? Car accidents. Yeah, good guess. I was like, terrific.
Our brains all went, eep, we pause.
We all just looked like we had a concussion.
I know, honestly. I was
like, what?
What? I was thinking like sex deaths or something like that, but those are actually very rare.
That's number three.
They're just highly publicized.
Yeah. So falling is really, it's the after car accidents. And so over 1 million Americans suffer a slip, trip, and fall injury, and over 17,000 people die a year in the U.S. because of these
injuries. That's so scary.
Injuries.
I hate that.
And the vast majority of them come from people, I think it's like more than half of them happen with people who are above 65 years or older. And there's a lot of different, you know, there's a lot of different things that will determine like how bad your fall is. But basically with aging, I mean, the risk is basically, you know, the higher in age you get, the risk level increases because of physical, sensory, and other cognitive changes, just, you know, mostly associated with aging. But then that's also in combination with like, just our world isn't built for older people. So, you know, there's there's like some ableism within our environments too. Yes. And I think the other interesting thing is that it's like most of the falls are happening in more low income countries. Like it's kind of like 80% of like the fatal falls, just because I guess it's just like the environments are have made it so that it is easier to fall in these environments. So another interesting thing to think about, like income and falling, that relationship, it is, there is a direct correlation. Ha ha ha
that
ha,
is
ha,
not
ha,
okay.
Ha. Love it.
No, that's really messed up. Thanks. I feel like Gabby always brings up the real world. Wow, this place sucks.
Thanks, Gabby.
But we can make it better.
Together, we can make a difference.
That's why it's good to get cryogenically frozen now and let other people make it better and then come back. But also, I mean, in general, for fall prevention, you know, you should do maybe some like good back and ab exercises. Okay. So that you can like get a good sense of balance. And what else? Yeah, I mean, for older people, they're saying some Tai Chi, get some flexibility in there because you got to make sure your body's good so that you don't fall.
What do you do for like stairs, though? Like if you slip on a stair?
Okay, well, this gets into another thing. Is another thing of determining how bad your fall is going to be is going to be height and how you land. So with how you land, obviously, it's kind of recommended. Make sure you just don't fall on your head, you know, because then that is what is most likely going to lead to most fatal falls is falling on your head.
That's so from horseback riding, they always teach you, like, if you like, you always kind of know when you're about to fall off. There's it's usually you see it coming kind of. They say, like, you know, you got to like protect your head. Like that's
Gabby. How mm-hmm. did you fall from your piggyback fall?
Just like right on my head.
Like the back
Shut
of your head.
Your mouth.
So
Stop.
Here's what had happened. So with my special friend, he had grabbed my legs securely, but I didn't grab the top. So then I just like fell back, like pivoting. So yeah.
I'm literally picturing that in my brain and I hate it.
Yeah, that's why I'm like this now. And I'm going to use this concussion excuse for a long time, guys. So
Gabby, you already use excuses. I remember when we went to the beach and Gabby literally cooked once out of like the whole week. I will always bring this up. Out of the whole week, Gabby cooked once. And you know what she fucking cooked? Frozen pizza.
Hey, my excuse is my mom spoiled me too much as a kid, so I never had
it's
to
okay
cook.
It's okay because I have a thing where like I have to be constantly serving people, so it actually worked out great.
Yeah, exactly. Serve me. So height, basically based on like studies, they're saying that if you fall from a height of above 100 feet, that is a fatal fall and there is really no way to survive. It also determines, you know, the quality of the impact surface. So if you're falling on cement on the sidewalk, bad news. But, you know, if you're like, if you fall and there's a bunch of trampolines, you know, that's obviously going to make it the rate of your fall
right.
less. So, you know, just those trampoline surfaces that be around that just happen to be there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple cases of like people who have survived falls that are more than 100 feet. Like there's this one woman who was rock climbing with her boyfriend and she fell 300 feet and she survived.
That's intense.
Because of how she fell, she only suffered like a mild traumatic brain injury, but yes, like most of her bones were broken. Like her pelvis was totally out of place. They had to like, you know, put a lot of stents in there. Her spine was really messed up, but she ended up surviving. And the person who's actually survived the highest fall is bonkers. Guess how far she fell from?
I mean, like 1,000 feet or something.
Oh no, I don't know.
33,000 feet out of an airplane.
What?
Yeah, this was in Serbia. She was a Serbian flight attendant and they were flying home and they're pretty sure someone had placed a bomb in one of the bags on the flight. It blew up. The plane crashed, but she had fallen and they're thinking that she was able to survive that impact because she was somehow like squeezed between the wall and like the food cart and somehow that prevented her from dying. But yes, most of her bones were broken, obviously, but you know, everyone else died, but she survived.
That's traumatic.
So she went down, the plane went down, she went down with the plane and then she was the only survivor.
That's mm-hmm. traumatic.
Oh, yep.
Goodness.
Anyway.
No, you've traumatized me, Gabby.
So yeah, I'm keeping my feet firmly on the ground.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, thank you for sharing this deeply personal story. I hope you don't feel too triggered. And I hope that you continue your recovery process. Up next, we're going to be talking about more concussions and head injuries and just get a little bit more traumatized. Be right back. Yay! Okay, so we're back. As I said, I have sworn off piggyback rides or anything airborne because that is just terrifying. So, as we all know, obviously, Gabby had her concussion. And it makes me wonder, oh my gosh, what if Gabby had, you know, I mean, you didn't fall into a coma, but first of all, what if Gabby would have fallen into a coma? We would all be really sad.
Whoa.
Second question is, what if Gabby would have fallen into a coma and woken up with some crazy new talent?
That would have been cool. It hasn't happened just yet, but I'm waiting for a new skill because, you know, I hit the brain. Certainly something's been jumbled up, you know?
One would hope. So,
ooh, maybe I'm good at chess. I haven't played chess, so let's play chess later. Great. And I can be like the Queen's Gambit and have a cool haircut.
I actually love chess, so yes. Also, you already have a cool haircut.
Thanks.
So, that sounded so sarcastic.
No, you do. She does. I love Gabby's haircut.
No, Gabby sounded sarcastic. She goes, thanks.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's just I know because apparently my hairdresser, after I went viral on TikTok, some people had reached out to her to see how she does my hair.
Oh, wow.
Not to brag.
I'm kind of jealous. I'm kind of jealous, you slut. I will say when I talked to Gabby over like video call for our meeting and she was in bed, she looked so good as like a sickly Victorian concussion patient in bed.
Thank you. I was like,
I would not look like that if I had a concussion. Like, fuck Gabby. So obviously Gabby has not awoken with some, you know, innate talent that she suddenly has.
Obviously. She has fewer now.
She's still Gabby.
And we love her. So, but this guy, this 16-year-old boy in 2016 in Atlanta, ATL, ho, got a concussion during a soccer game and went into a coma. And when he woke up from the coma, he spoke fluent Spanish and had no recollection of the English language at all.
That's insane.
Isn't that insane? And every time he would speak English, he would have a seizure, which is terrible.
Oh, no.
Terrible, by the way. That's just horrifying. So this happened for a couple of weeks, and eventually he kind of started not forgetting Spanish, because when they interviewed him a couple of weeks later, he could still speak fluent Spanish, but he started remembering English again and starting to answer in like his first language. But I found that fascinating, and I started reading about it, and it turns out there's like two terms for this depending on what happens to you. So one is, if a person wakes up after a coma speaking in a foreign accent, that's called foreign accent syndrome. Very creative name. But if they wake up speaking a different language, that's called bilingual aphasia. And I just found that a little bit bananas. So the best way to explain what happened to this boy, which is bilingual aphasia, is that this is just so crazy. The brain is so insane. The brain stores your first language like it's a motor skill. And so it goes into a specific part of your brain where like walking goes, or like, I don't know, eating breakfast with tools goes. I don't know.
With tools.
tools.
I use a drill to eat my eggs in the morning.
You know what I mean? What are they called? I don't know. Silverware. Yes. Okay. And then the second languages that you're trying to learn or that you have already learned get stored in a different part of your brain. And so when you wake up from a coma or a concussion, because as Gabby said, your brain is jumbled up, the first language part of your brain could be affected. And so your brain will go to the other part of your brain where you're storing the second language and piece things together. And next thing you know, you're using the second language because that's all your brain can access.
That makes no sense.
Which is insane.
But is it like...
How does that make no sense, Taylor?
Huh?
How does that make no sense?
No. I mean, but like where, how did that language get, the second language get into his brain? Like, has he just heard it enough?
He was learning it in school.
Okay.
This makes me feel good that maybe I am better because I took French for probably like 10 years and technically minored in it. And I'm still pretty bad at French, but maybe my brain knows French better than I think it does.
Have you tried?
Trying to get, like getting a coma?
No. Like tried French. Speaking French since you had your concussion.
J'adore le croissant. Merci. It's pretty average, you know.
Okay. I was expecting like some flowing French to come out of you suddenly. But yeah, so everyone that this has happened to, they were either around the second language that they woke up speaking or were studying it casually. One of the craziest stories that I found is this English woman went into a coma and woke up speaking fluent French. And the last time that she had studied French was 30 years prior to the coma. And in the interview, it's so funny to me. In the interview, the headline of the interview is, "I studied French 30 years ago. I have no desire to even visit France." That's so rude.
That is rude.
Like, okay, you don't have to like be mean about France. But yeah, she woke up speaking fluent French, didn't know English, and then after a few weeks went back to English. And the same thing happened to like this Croatian girl. She woke up speaking fluent German. She was studying German at the time and was watching like German series to try to like learn better. She was a 24-hour coma, and after she woke up, she spoke fluent German, which is just insane. It's a super rare, really bananas phenomenon.
Could you imagine if you could just access all parts of your brain? Because if it's there.
I know, right?
Like,
I have, yeah, I similarly to Gabby, I have literally spent years in and out of like learning French. And I just wish I could. I mean, I'm not wishing a coma on myself, obviously, but I just wish that like I could access that part of my brain and tell my brain to piece it together.
But you're already bilingual.
I know, but.
Well, you could be trilingual.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it suck if you like woke up as like a white person and then you like were doing a really offensive accent?
Well, that, no. You know, that has happened to people. So the foreign accent syndrome.
Oh, no.
It's so weird because people have woken up, like a white person, for example, has woken up speaking in a French accent, or like, I don't know, a Latin person woke up speaking in a German accent, like so random. And according to experts, it's not that like they're taking the accent from the culture. It's just that the way that their mouth and their motor skills are like producing words sounds like this accent. And so we associate it with a German accent or like a French accent or whatever. But in reality, it's just that they're like their brains cannot make the sounds that they used to make. And so it sounds like an accent, but it's not really like actually region specific. But how bananas
that's
is that?
It's even worse. It's like, it sounds like you have an accent. It's just because your mouth's not working.
I mean, yes, that is essentially what it is, which I find so bizarre and strange.
That is so strange and so interesting. I wanna figure out how to access the rest of my brain. If I could do that, then I would be so rich because then I could tell everyone how to do it and everybody would be intelligent. It'd be great.
I'm pretty sure that's what
that's what Alcor's doing.
No.
Yeah.
But I think there's a movie where they do that and like they take a pill and they can access all of their brain.
I think that's limitless. Called Adderall.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I've never had Adderall, but the brain is weird. That is my big conclusion. Gabby, I'm so sorry you had a concussion.
Thanks.
We're glad you're feeling better though.
Yeah, no cool accent though. But we'll play chess later and we'll see if I'm suddenly really good at that.
You'll suddenly like start seeing the chess pieces on the ceiling and yeah, hallucinating.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Exactly.
Perfect.
Let us know how it goes.
Well, thank you everyone so much for listening. As always, we love spending time with you and sharing all of these weird facts. Until next time, bye. Cadaver Gals. Cadaver Gals is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It is written, edited, produced, researched, etc. by Gabby Watts, Taylor Church, and Nika Duarte. And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter @CadaverGals. See you next time.